Okay, so this Shabbos is Shabbos Shira, and obviously the main event of Parshas Bishala is Kriyas Yamsuf, and it's something that we recall every single day when we say Az Yashir. And one of the dangers of having such a significant event in a parsha is that we sometimes tend to overlook other events that happened in that parsha. But one of the most impactful events in this week's parsha is the episode that happened in the aftermath of Kriyas Yamsuf, and that is the episode of Marah. Klal Yisrael traveled for 3 days, couldn't find water anywhere, and it's ironic, obviously, that after being surrounded by water and praying that the water should be kept at bay and not overwhelm them and just keep the water away from us, that they've experienced a total lack for and terrible need for water, which is so symbolic of so many things in life, where it's not about I don't want it, I do want it, it's I need it at the right time, in the right way, and in the way that's going to be bracha, and not l'klala, and water in particular, fits that criteria in many different contexts. But two important things happened in Mark. First, when we complained that the water we finally found was bitter, Hashem taught Moshe how to sweeten the water, take a piece of wood and throw it in the water. You take this piece of wood, you throw it in the water, and then the water will become sweet. And the second thing is that after sweetening the water, Hashem gave us certain mitzvahs. 10 mitzvahs in total. Shom sam lo chok mishpat v'sham yisam. So, a few questions that come up over here. First of all, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu provide for them in this way, right? By giving us bitter water and then teaching us the trick how to sweeten it. Just if you want to give us fresh water. You don't think of it, just put one of those Poland Spring machines over there and we'll be very happy. We're inclined to say that he was testing them, but if that's the case, then we failed that test really pretty miserably. What are we going to drink? So what? Then Hashem rewards us for that question? If he was testing us, then we failed. Then he should have rewarded us at the end of the test by sweetening the water. So what exactly was the thought process in giving us water that was not useful to us? Second of all, what's the connection between the two parts of the episode, right? The sweetening of the bitter water, and immediately followed by, and here's 10 mitzvahs. What do the mitzvahs have to do with the water? And finally, the Gemara Baba Kama that we just learned this week in Daf Yomi, this is a great Daf Yomi coincidence for those who like those things, refers to this episode as the source for Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday, to ensure that we don't go 3 days without Torah. Right, we have 3 days without water in Mayim and the Torah, so we should never go 3 days without Torah, so we have Kriyas HaTorah on Monday and Thursday. Of course, if you go on vacation to a place that doesn't have a minyan, so you end up without Kriyas HaTorah also. But how does the need for a consistent presence of Torah in our lives relate to the challenge of finding bitter water? Meaning, there's a more simple shot in Pasuk than we didn't have Torah. That is that we didn't have water. We were just thirsty. Meaning, he says it's about Torah. So there's a famous part from the Kotzker relating to Mara. Parts from the Kotzker, they always have certain things in common. They're always brief, they're sharp, and they're deeply insightful. That's the Mahalich of the Kotzker. The Pasuk says, "Ve'yivom arasav le'yachlushos mayim Mara ki marim heim." Alkein kara shema mara. So the Kotzker explains how did we touch that phrase ki marim heim, because they were bitter. So the simple shot obviously is we couldn't drink the water from mara ki marim heim because the water was bitter. Says the Kotzker, ki marim heim is not intended to describe the taste of the water; it's to describe the demeanor and the attitude of the people. They couldn't appreciate the water, and it tasted bitter because they were bitter people. And if you're a bitter person, everything's going to look bitter, everything's going to taste bitter, everything's going to look bad, everything's going to be a problem. Rabbi Rosner quotes from Zelenga Pliskin, who elaborates that if a person feels bitter, then nothing in life appears positive. Anyone looking for faults and defects will always be able to find them. A bitter person makes himself miserable, and those in his environment suffer with him. So by sweetening one's own outlook, one will live in a much sweeter world. It's just the nature of how a person can impact his environment. I mentioned to you guys earlier that I was in Eretz Yisrael this past week for three reasons. One of them was to visit Gross, and that was a great success. Got to see the Talmidim there who are mamish thriving and loving it. One of them was to go to various places in Eretz Yisrael to see the tzaros that were brought upon our nation. And I did not accomplish that mission because I ended up getting sick, so not being able to do it. But the third reason I was in Eretz Yisrael, it was my grandfather's first yard sale. My grandfather was the kind of person that always brought sunshine with him. Meaning, whenever you'd ask him, "How you doing?" Or Hashem, no complaints. Hashem has been so good to me. If you didn't know any better, you would take it at face value. You know, Hashem has been so good to me. So many grandchildren, great grandchildren. He's got to meet great, great grandchildren, several of them. He was able to meet in good health. I was able to call my grandfather when my granddaughter was born and say, "Zaidi, I became a Zaidi." And how many people get to have that sort of experience? So it's a blessed and charmed existence to see all that. And he was basically in good health until a week before he died. But then you look a little deeper, and oftentimes, when people look at the surface, you don't get the picture. There's a man who lost his father when he was 3 years old. He lost almost everybody else a couple of years later in the Holocaust. His bar mitzvah was in the ghetto, which was a wonderful place compared to where he was headed next, which was Auschwitz and Buchenwald. And after being turned around on the Exodus, ruining his dream of going to Eretz Yisrael, which is all he ever wanted to do, he had to figure out life in America with no support system, not knowing the language or anything like that. Built a family, supported them for working to build a business. Finally, able to make his way back to Eretz Yisrael, his business partner embezzled all of his money and he ran the business into the ground, forcing him to come back from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lars for a few more years. Eventually, he made it to Israel, only to then lose his wife 28 years before he died, when she was in her 50s, and his daughter 10 years later, when she was in her late 40s. And there was so much to be bitter about, so much. And the world could have been a very bitter place for someone like that, but it wasn't. The world was a very sweet place. There was no mara, there was no mara shchona, which is the term for depression. What ultimately, and this is the Yesodic psychology, what ultimately makes a person happy is not the things that happen in his life. It's about the person's attitude toward life. Rabbi Reisman once commented that a guy from the shul was cleaning out his house and he mentions this story all the time, and he found a Hapardes journal from the 1940s, which had printed a collection of drushas from leading rabbis of the time in America about the challenges facing American Jewry in the 1940s. And the guy didn't know what to do with all these old journals, so he brought them to Israel, he brought them to Rabbi Reisman to look at, like a historical document, almost like a curiosity. So Rabbi Reisman was reading through it, and he noticed that there were two types of drushas. There were drushas that cried bitterly about how terrible the Ruchnius is in America, and how there's no Torah, there's no Tznius, there's no Yerushalayim, there's no Gedolim, there's nothing in America. And then there were drushas that were hopeful. We already have a few yeshivas, there's Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan, there's Tara Vadas, and there's a couple of yeshivas. And there's mikvahs in some communities already, and the young generation maybe can be molded and guided because they're thirsty, so they don't know anything, but they're thirsty for something, and maybe we can affect them. And Rabbi Reisman noticed something incredible, a trend, when he was looking at these different drushas. So the people who gave the first type of drushas were big Talmid Chachamim, but they were people that none of us have ever heard of. They were people that you would never recognize their names. The people who gave the second type of drusha, they were all famous people who had a huge impact on American Jewry. They were the Rav Meishas, the Rav Taitzes, the people who had a tremendous, tremendous impact on American Jewry. I would imagine the people of both groups were all big Talmid Chachamim. But if Marim Haim, then everything will turn out bitter, and you're not going to be able to accomplish. If you're positive and optimistic, so then you're going to find sunshine and success. I was meeting with one of the Talmidim in Gruss this week, and some Talmidim just said, "This is amazing, and it's so great, and Rav Ben Arsh is awesome, and Rav Eisenstein is awesome, and Rav Miller is awesome. I just have my only difficulties. I can't figure out who's the most awesome. And I'm in Eretz Yisrael, and I can't imagine how you could be in America now. That was the normal thing. It's great." And But okay, so one guy, you know, decided to give me his whole list of, you know, of titles on YU from the day he stepped in, you know, stepped foot in the base medrash till, you know, so you know, I kept on pointing out the silver lining of everything, the positive side of everything. He's like, why are you so positive? That's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to try to be a positive person. Rabbi Mordechai Ezrahi in the Hakdamah to his Birkas Mordechai explained that at Mara, Hashem taught Klal Yisrael how to deal with bitterness in life. There will be times that things don't go our way, and that we can feel dejected, we can feel even worse, we can feel depressed. By Reu Hashem, the Ramban explains it means that Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the way to solve the problem of bitterness is to insert the Eitz HaChayim, the Torah itself, into the bitterness, and you'll find that it becomes sweet. When you recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu in your life, you're going to see only sweetness. Hashem could have given them sweet water to begin with, but the point was not just to nourish and hydrate people, the point was to teach them a lesson, how to deal with the fact that life is always going to have difficulties. And so no matter how successful you are, the most successful people, the happiest people, always have times where they, you know, if you were to give them truth serum, and you know, to really, there are always times where you feel like, what am I doing? Am I really accomplishing anything? Am I just spinning my wheels over here? Does that, you know, I'm already in my mid-40s, and I'm still not a Talmud Chacham, and I still haven't done anything, and I still, there are always times in your life where you feel like, what am I actually accomplishing? What am I, and the Kodesh Baruch wanted to teach us that there's a way to deal with that also. That you're not always just given sweet waters. That explains the connection between the water and the mitzvahs received at Mara. It's you know, through our dedication to serving Kodesh Baruch Hu that we find the sweetness. That's also why we derive the halacha of Kriyas HaTorah from this very episode, because the sweetness comes in the form of Torah. The Gemara Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chaf Beis on Beis, teaches us Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Liyomam. Shachto is quotes from Rav Kook, that's a raya that Chazal had a sense of humor. Talmidei Chachamim seem to not do that so much. But anyway, Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Liyomam is ideally what they're supposed to do. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky explains that someone who learns Torah develops a positive outlook on everything in his life and passes on that energy of Shalom, which serves to increase shalom and contentedness in the entire world. Now, the amazing thing about the water that's sweetened by the wood is that it tastes so much sweeter than regular drinking water. You know, when you go through the bitterness and you understand that Vayirei Hashem, that Hashem is also teaching you in those moments what your mission in life is, so then that water becomes becomes so much sweeter. I've mentioned in the past, I mean, there's a Maharal that says that you know, Misha Nichnas Ad Marvel Simcha. So we know that there's two things in Chodesh Adar, which we're not holding at yet. So we've got a little while, but a couple of weeks. But two things in Chodesh Adar: that there's a mazel of Simcha in Chodesh Adar. It's a time of Simcha, and there's a chi of Simcha, right? Marvel of Simcha. So Maral declares which one gives birth to which, right? I mean, is it that because there's a mazel of simcha, so my obligation is to tap into that? Or is it, no, since I have an obligation to be besimcha, that generates the mazel of simcha. That if all the Jewish people have this obligation to be besimcha, so memela, the world has simcha in it. Memela, there's going to be simcha. And the answer is obviously both, right? The answer to these kinds of confusions is always a little bit of both. But it's such an important yisod. That simcha is not something that's just in the air that I have to like grab onto. It's something that I put in the air. That's what we always have to realize, that you know, when you're a more positive person, people will want to be around you. When you're someone who always has something good to say, people will want to be around you. I have mentioned in the past that Rav Rimon advised my shul when I asked for an easy mitzvah to do, he said, just give a compliment to your wife every single day. That's a, you know, when you come in with something positive, something, there was a part I just said when I was in Ramat Beit Shemesh, I'm not going to go through the whole vart now, vart of Makos Choshev, which I love. It's my favorite vart. One of my favorite varts. So why do I love this vart? Because one time, Nissen Kaplan was visiting North Woodmere for Shabbos, and they had some sort of tish, and they asked me to speak, and I wasn't prepared. And I said this vart, because it had come to mind during Kabbalah Shabbos, when I wasn't focusing. So so I said over this Vart, so Nissen Kaplan said to me, Ilu lo basi lekan, just to hear this Vart, it would have been kedah. So that's it. That's a compliment like that, and I'll never forget that Vart now. Turns out, like the whole world says the Vart, it's not such a good. But that's a, you know, that's all I need to. Something that someone brings positivity into your life, you'll always associate them with positivity. And that's perhaps the lesson of Mara. I was talking about my grandfather, you know, his ability to find sweetness in life, even though there was so much to be bitter about. Where did he get that from? It came from the Torah. That's where it comes from a real genuine relationship. I remember waking up early as a young child, and when my grandfather was at it, my grandparents were at our house, and I would always, no matter how early in the morning it was, I'd come downstairs, I find him learning from a giant Shas or a giant set of Rambam, you know, at the kitchen table, 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. In later years, it was also Mishnayis. He finished Shas Mishnayis every month after my grandmother died. So for 28 years, he was finishing Shas Mishnayis every single month. And even later years, it was Sfarim that were written by his grandchildren. Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ha. So we all yearn for happiness and sweetness, but there's a recipe for it, and that is to latch on to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah, and to bring that light and that joy and that gratification with the Torah to everybody around us, and that brings a sense of positivity. Okay. Starting next week, Mondays and Wednesdays, I'm back to